When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Breaking the gray.
Sarah, good morning.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Good afternoon over here in Angleterre. Very good, thank you.
Good. We survived yet another week of technical issues. We survived. I think I was in the desert for a few days. You were in the rain still, but we're having a good week, right? This is a good week that we're like in the middle of it now.
This is a good week. And actually, Russ, it was yesterday. So I think you're kind of, you've gone into some space-time loop.
It feels very much like my wife and I were just talking about this on Sunday. We were driving home about the fact that when you get older, how fast time is, it's so annoying. Every day we look at the clock and we're like, how is it 8 p.m.? It might be close to 8 p.m. for you now, but it really, like, time is not only flying, it is like zooming by. I remember being 41 and now I'm 51 like it was yesterday. But we're here. It's Tuesday. We talked yesterday and we have an amazing guest today. And I want to get right to it because you and I could banter on for hours and she'll just nod off and fall asleep in the bed behind her.
But I'm going to introduce Claudia on that bombshell of an introduction, Russ. I'll introduce Claudia, who we've met doing, Claudia's got a fabulous podcast herself called Wired for Success. And also she does a lot of stuff on social media for entrepreneurs. Correct me if I'm wrong, Claudia, but I think that's kind of your niche, that you're helping entrepreneurs to kind of make successful habits and to rewire their brains to be successful. So we've spoken a few times and it's been an absolute pleasure. And you're always up to all kinds of things, very active. I know that you're kind of doing lots of running and doing lots of fitness, and I'm trying to do some running, and I've got myself up to almost a mile and a half, which sounds... Wow. Yeah. Yes. I'm actually dressed for the gym. I'm ready. I'm going to the gym tonight. So I'm trying to speed it up. But thank you so much for coming on, Claudia. It's lovely to see you on this side.
Oh, thank you so much, Sarah and Russ, for having me. Sarah, it's always so much fun to talk with you. And I've listened to a few of your podcast episodes, and you've had all those brilliant doctors and scientists on that I feel like a complete imposter being on this show. But I'm a mindset coach, so I kind of have to put myself into these kind of situations because I have to lead by example, right? I can't tell my clients to face their fears and limiting beliefs and not do it myself, so... Here I am. Let's see if I can add something to this discussion.
Claudia, you're speaking to the biggest imposter of them all, and that's me. I am an absolute imposter. I have no idea about any of the things I learn about. And I think for me, it's all a big surprise. I sort of approach this in a way where it's a huge learning exercise, and I've been doing this now for like 3.5 years, so it's a little hard to say it's now like I'm still... you know, a novice here, but I'm still learning. And I think that that's the important thing, right? Of like, we have to be open to learning. And if we're not open to learning, then we're just stubborn old people who are, you know, never going to change our ways and continue to vote for the same political candidates every time because it's my party. But like, let's change. Let's learn, right? Isn't that the key to life?
Well, and also it's the rebel scientist. You know, we're here to talk to people who, you know, we're kind of going against this belief that you have to have had a certain kind of education to have experience or knowledge in a certain field. You know, a lot of the people that we talk to are self-taught in their fields or they're experiential, because that's another thing about science. It's about observation and learning and kind of developing a theory. So you're in the right place, Claudia. Don't you worry about that. You're in good company. So maybe tell us a bit about yourself then, and kind of how you've got to become this mindset coach and what that means for you.
Yeah, sure. So I'm a molecular biologist by profession, and I've always been kind of like a very driven person. It was always easy for me to motivate myself. But what I didn't understand at the time was that most of that was fear driven. So I just wanted to succeed because I didn't want to fail, right? So I put a lot of pressure on myself. And at some point, I just reached that breaking point. So what happened was that I was working on this prestigious PhD project, and I got bullied at work, right? It was a really terrible situation where my supervisor wasn't really interested in helping me, but she was just trying to somehow manipulate me or trying to stop me from making progress, which was really, really tough for me because I was in the spot where I was like, I'm dependent on this person, and here is someone who just doesn't want to help me. And I didn't know what to do. I felt so helpless. So that was a real emotional struggle that I didn't know how to handle. And at the same time, I was also in I would probably say a toxic relationship, but there was so much stress from so many different angles, and I didn't know how to relax anymore. So this led me to being completely burned out, and I still tried to do all the right things. Like I had a healthy diet. I was doing all the exercise, like all the things that people usually tell you to do. But then I got suddenly diagnosed with cancer. So from one day to the next, I was 28 years old, and I kind of felt betrayed by my body. I was like, I was doing all the right things. So why is this happening to me? But then I realized the body is only one part of the equation, right? You can't expect to just do the exercise and the nutrition and not look after your mental and emotional health, because that's a big part of the equation and it does affect your body. And that's what I hadn't really realized before. And that set me on this journey to incorporating more of the mindset and emotional mastery piece, because it's important, guys. It really is.
Yeah. There's some really strange thing when you get older. And Claudia, I went through the same thing. I was 22 and I had cancer, and I was in college, and I was so angry at just like how, but I chose to say, like, I'm going to be dead at 30 anyway, so I may as well just live the best life possible. And then it was like 35 and 40, and I'm like, now I'm 50, and I'm like, I'm still here. I'm still kicking. But I look back and I'm wondering, when you say fear is our driver, like, what is that? Like, what are we afraid of? Like, I know I was afraid of my dad's judgment, but not everyone's afraid of their parent. But that fear puts us in toxic relationships and makes us feel comfortable in a bullying relationship at work. But what is that fear? And how do we dispel it? And I don't know if that's something that you do in your practice, but like, that seems like kind of the area to go to, right?
Absolutely. I think there are some core fears that we all have. Or most of us have. There's fear of rejection, fear of abandonment, and fear of judgment. I think those are three things that really drive a lot of this fear-based mindset. And I was really afraid to just, you know, I felt like this imposter. I had the good marks, I had the scholarships, everything, but I wasn't confident. So there was this misalignment, and it really felt like someday people will find out that I'm not the person I pretend to be, or I always have to be perfect so that others accept me. I think that was a huge part of the fear for me. And I think the first step is really to be aware of those fears, because I wasn't consciously aware of them. I was just background fear. It was just like what you feel uncomfortable about, right? I hated public speaking. I just felt like so insecure, but I didn't take the time to really think about where this was coming from and what to do about it. So I didn't really acknowledge it. It was just there in the background driving my decisions. And it really forced me when I was sick and I was spending all this time in hospital, just couldn't do anything. So I had all the time in the world all of a sudden. And I couldn't think about these things, that I really realized that all my decisions had been fear-based, and to acknowledge that. And once you do that, and especially if you go through something like cancer, right, Russ, it's like your worst fear has already manifested. Like, what else is there to lose? So you might as well live your best.
And do you, we talked to someone yesterday, and I asked this question.
I was like, thinking exactly the same. Yeah.
How do you live your life not obsessing about I'm going to get sick again? And I mean. It took me a very long time to stop checking my armpits and stop checking my neck and my groin when I was in the shower of like, do I have more lymph nodes? You know, but how do you not live in constant fear of that thing coming back again?
That is a good question. And actually it's something that I didn't really struggle with that much.
Don't struggle now. I'm not manifesting that for you, Claudia.
No.
That's something. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just trying to remember. I mean, once I understood what got me into this situation, I was kind of like, oh my God, it makes so much sense. So I'm in the driver's seat here. I know what fear and worry and all this does to my body. Now let's not do it again. So focus on the positive. That this always reminds me about, you know, when you have a road that's very, very straight and you have just one tree to the side of it, and people focus so much on the tree and not hitting that tree that they're actually hitting the tree. So you just focus on the road, not on the tree. Focus on where you want to go, not on the obstacle.
And it is weird. I really believe I gave myself cancer with my mental state at the time. And I look back and I was thinking about it a lot. I was focused on, I was obsessive over not getting cancer for a very strange reason. And I got it. And I was a fairly healthy person at 22 years old. I was an athlete. I never really suffered from a cold longer than a couple of days. But I can go back and say I definitely gave myself the mental states, put myself in a mental state where cancer was possible because I was obsessing over it. And I imagine, just like that tree, let's turn the tree into something positive now. Can we focus on and manifest something positive?
Yes, absolutely. And I think what was important for me in this situation is I wasn't focusing on cancer or avoiding cancer, but I think what was important for me was that in my family, everyone was just very driven, very active. So you didn't have an excuse to just be lazy and do nothing and relax, right? So the only acceptable excuse was if you were sick. So for me, when I reached this breaking point, I kind of needed an excuse to slow down because everything else was just unacceptable. So that's how I got in the mindset of a disease, a sickness, manifesting.
But what do you think then for people going forwards? Because you now teach people about having mindset, and Russ and I are kind of very open to hearing your thoughts on how we can improve our own mindsets, because, you know, we are actually on a mission to try and improve our own health. But what if you don't have that kind of wake-up call? Because like Russ said, we spoke to a lady yesterday. She had a really impressive spiritual practice, but she'd had rheumatoid arthritis from the age of two. So she'd gone through hell to get there. So, you know, you must have a lot of people, entrepreneurs and people that you're coaching. What do you do with people who kind of, they're not at that breaking point? Because it seems to me sometimes you need to have something to, you know, to put the brakes on, because, you know, society isn't encouraging us to do it. So how do you get people to stop and look around, so to speak?
Yeah, so you don't have to wait until the worst case scenario hits. But I think it really helps to take a step back and kind of take an inventory of where you're at right now and where you want to go. And if you can, if you are on the right track, because that's so important. We oftentimes just don't take the time to simply take stock and be really honest with ourselves about how, if we're making progress and if we're even playing the right game. Because sometimes it's just a question of, we're just following other people's expectations and we're living a life of just following the track like that other people have laid out for us. And we don't stop long enough to really question what we are doing. So I would encourage everyone to just take a step back and look at your life and evaluate and take stock and then take it from there.
Yeah. Do you have some kind of system for that? Because it's funny, as you're talking, I used to have some friends who are into like different addiction recovery programs. And actually on those programs, that's part of the procedure, is that you do an inventory and you do it every day and then you kind of see where you're going. But I've often thought, yeah, you know, that is something that probably is helpful for a lot of people. And I did get into the habit of doing it for a while. I must admit I've fallen off the wagon of it a little bit. But do you have like a method that you kind of teach people?
So we created like a sheet where we really write down your vision and we look at different areas of your life, and then we score that and we look at the overall quality of life. And then we're trying to find the key leverage points. Like, I like to think of as humans as those complex adaptive systems. So there are lots of pieces that are interconnected, and we just have to find the key leverage points where you have to make just small tweaks and changes that can positively impact the whole system. So that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, there you go. See, you said you weren't a scientist, and this is what all the, this is all you're bringing in, your understanding of complex systems to understanding how our personalities are working, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's so fascinating. I mean, I just love science. I love to listen to lots of different, I love to listen to people talk about biology, but also systems and AI, and there's so much fascinating stuff out there. And then I try to bring it all together. But yeah.
Claudia, you know, over the last 3 or 4 years, Sarah and I mean, Sarah is, I learn from Sarah every day about being an entrepreneur, and I've been one as well. I also work full time, you know, in a marketing executive job. And, but it's important to me to have, the entrepreneurism. Now that I'm older, I need a creative outlet. And I think what challenges me every month when I look at the books and look at the math, and I lose my confidence pretty much every month in myself and my ability to run a business. And I've watched Sarah go through the ups and downs of her, and she's, you know, we're on the precipice of Sarah Thrive. And what can we learn about our confidence in being an entrepreneur? Because I feel like that's where I need a lot of work.
Oh yeah.
And it does stress me out. It does.
Confidence is so important. It's so important. And just, I think what I find the toughest is to believe in the things that haven't happened yet, right? So you have to trust the process. And I was just talking to someone on my podcast today and we were discussing this, and it was kind of like, she was saying, you need to learn to surrender and trust the process. I was like, yeah, but sometimes it's so hard, you know, you have all the resistance that comes up and you, maybe you get scared, or maybe you feel like, oh, I can't do this. This is too hard. And you kind of feel yourself tensing up and, but then you have to take a breath and you have to relax. And you just have to trust the process. If you know where you are now and you know where you want to go and you have a plan and you follow the plan and you tweak as you go, you'll get there. Just trust the process.
That's so interesting. It's really interesting that you brought up, you know, all the stuff that's going on right now. And I don't want to derail the conversation too much, but when everyone talks about AI, I'm kind of a little bit obsessed right now with the whole chatbot thing, because it's so interesting. And also, it's going to disrupt a lot of things. You know, Russ is working in a creative industry. You know, there's a very real threat to a lot of people's professions, and people that have spent a long time building up their expertise, potentially that could disappear overnight. You know, you could have someone who studied to do something for 50 years and now this artificial intelligence can do it better. What are your views on how we can kind of prepare ourselves for that, or at least kind of a little bit future-proof ourselves and what we're doing and our mindset around that? Because I think we're going to, in the next few years, have to have a very different mindset towards our jobs, our identity, our areas of expertise.
Oh, that's such a good question. It's so interesting to see where this is headed. And I don't know if it's going to be more positive or more negative, but I like to keep an open mind. So I would suggest to think about how you can use it to your advantage. So instead of focusing on the threat, just try to think about how you can use it to be maybe more productive, or how you can leverage it to save time. And what makes you unique that an AI system cannot replace? So how can you market yourself in a way that is not going to be replaced by AI in the near future? I mean, who knows what's going to happen, and if we really create this super intelligence that's going to take over the world, and then who knows?
Yeah.
You know, there's this funny thing, you know, driving. I try to test myself, because I always would claim, like, I can get anywhere. Once I go there, I have visual memory. I can remember everything. And now with GPS, I can't, it's an area in my brain that I just have, like, don't need anymore. I don't need to know how to drive anywhere, but it scares me, because there are days where, you know, I might not have a cell connection and I'm like, where am I going? Is that northwest, southeast? That to me is the first example of where the dumbing down of our brains is going to go. And what do we do with the space and time that we're going to have available, where we're not sitting writing down, and, you know, we can now take our transcripts from our podcasts and put them into generative AI, and it creates, you know, a beautiful social media stuff. Like, that's all wonderful, but
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I'm going to have excessive amounts of free time where the system's doing things where I used to have to think and really challenge my brain and again, learn. I worry that we're just going to become really dumb people, and we're going to let the systems and tools do the hard work for us. My old man's coming out now. I don't know what's going on. But this, it does scare me a little bit, because I'm a marketer and a creator, and those areas feel very much like they're going to be disrupted by AI.
Yeah, I guess they will. They will definitely change. And we are not quite sure in which direction they will change. But I see that, well, I would predict that there's so much more content that's going to flood everything, like all the social media platforms, because it has just become so much easier to create a ton of content. So everyone is going to do it. Everyone is going to play the volume game. And it's so much harder to stand out from the crowd. So we have to be inventive and come up with new ways. And I think podcasting, for instance, is great, right? Because AI is not going to take it away.
True. Yeah, not yet. Not yet.
Yeah. I don't know if ChatGPT is going to lead interviews in the near future. And if they're, well, who knows? Maybe.
And yeah. What's interesting, though, is that with COVID, one of the most human things we can do is physically connect with each other. And we've almost put ourselves in a place where we're not connecting as much and not physically connecting as much. That's where you break the robots, is where humans connect and we, you know, group. I don't know. I feel like maybe human connection is the thing that will keep it all together. Maybe we all need to be running wellness centers in Joshua Tree. That might be the only employment we have left, is running human wellness centers.
Oh, come, Russ. I'm a volunteer. Yes. I'll volunteer Sarah, at your wellness center.
I'm not opening up unless you're with me, because we need red light everywhere.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, count me in. Because I also think that human connection is the key. And I also think, from a lot of what you're saying, Claudia, you know, people get off track because of a disconnection. You know, like you were saying, you became kind of disconnected with your actual core values because you were so busy, you know, running a program. You know, you wanted the accolade, you know, you wanted to get the respect from your peers, because that's kind of what you did. You were running a program. You were a little bit disconnected from yourself. And so, yeah, that's why I think what you do, you know, for people to be successful, you know, how can we foster this network or foster human connection, or kind of a getting in touch with ourselves more and our true values? Because yeah, we can do journaling, but you know, kind of in isolation too, it's a difficult thing to do.
Yeah, that's so interesting that you mentioned that, because I'm actually working on something like that at the moment. So what I want to create, because I saw the same problem. So what I want to create is a really high level mastermind group for entrepreneurs. So I want to bring people together, because I think that community and connection are so important, and they cannot be replaced by AI. So that's what I want to create. I want to bring those bright minds together, and together we are going to create magic, because I've seen that happening before. I'm in a mastermind group myself, and it's sometimes you're so stuck where inside your own body, like you're sitting inside the jar and you can't read the label, right? So you need those people around you who reflect your image, who mirror you, so that you understand what you bring to the table, and who also show you your blind spots so that you can fill in the gaps. And it's amazing what a small group of supportive and dedicated people can achieve. It's just mind-blowing. I mean, people might have been stuck for half a year or something. They get together, we have two meetings, and it's like, boom, all of a sudden they understand what has been holding them back all the time. And they see, oh, this messaging is not landing at all. Like, let's change it. Let's pivot a little bit. Now I understand what I have to do. And it's like, it's amazing. So I think that's the way to go.
And something you said, in going back to kind of the beginning of this episode, is that we probably, as humans, learn quicker and listen more to another human than we do to a robot, or reading it online, or to Instagram. Mm-hmm. Like, that's important information and it's input, but we probably are more attentive and potentially learn faster from another human being who we've connected with, who we have some level of trust with. So A, creating the trust and safety, B, then being in the environment where you're open to learning, and especially Claudia, and running, you know, and having entrepreneurs together, it's a lot to learn there. And you know, for me, I need some confidence to keep this thing going, because it is treacherous and expensive, and but I want to do it, and it's super important to me. But I only have so many hours in the day, and you know, I've got to get off Instagram that's feeding me the algorithm every day. But I imagine that's probably helpful, right? That, like, another human is a better teacher than the AI itself.
Yes, I totally believe that. And I mean, there's, when you look at communication, there is so much more than just the words. There is the body language. There is the emotional component, the connection, the tone of voice. There is so much information communicated in other forms than words. And that's still something that AI can't do.
There's some, I read a terrible article. I need to find it and I'll send it to you on LinkedIn. But there is it was talking about if our courts, judges and lawyers become AI, they're not reading any human nuance. They're not reading they're not reading human behavior, what your unspoken body language says. And there is a very black and white like thing about the law versus the gray areas of the law, which is where a lot of our people live. And you know, that's why we have attorneys, because there's gray area in the law. But if the AI is running it, there's no gray area. It's kind of frightening to think that like the judge is a robot, right? I mean, and human, you know, forgiveness and empathy are not things that the AI today has. They're not sentient beings yet, at least not yet. But empathy is such an important thing. And when you're in the court of law, you do have empathy, but even in relationships, like, you know, I mean, I've watched Her multiple times. That movie is just so fascinating to me. Because I think that's the frightening thing, unless we have that human connection and really we're talking to a real person. You know, we really need that. So it scares me, really frightens me.
They're already making robots you can have relationships with. That's already done. You know, that's, I can't remember the name of it. What's it called? Replica or something? I was listening to a podcast on it. But it's interesting what you're saying about there's more to human connection. I mean, actually, I think we're missing a lot here. You know, the three of us are talking and we're getting a lot of information, but potentially there's biophotons that we're emitting that we're kind of not picking up. There's electromagnetic fields, there's brain waves. There's all kinds of information that's getting lost just on this level of technology. So actually, having a point in your day where you're going to meet a group of people and having these discussions, it's probably giving you a lot more than you actually recognize. It's a lot more than just bouncing ideas off someone.
Yes, you get in tune. That's really what happens. I mean, if you meet in person, there's also the debate about pheromones. And as you said, there's so much more to so many layers of information that we might not be consciously aware of. But even meeting like we do, there's still so much information that's beyond words.
That's right. Hey, yeah. How would the AI know when to butt in on a conversation and having a three-way Zoom? Like, would the AI just butt in constantly because it knows the answer all the time? It's like, why are you such a know-it-all, man?
The creepy thing is it would be programmed to know when there's socially acceptable pauses and things. That's it. I mean, I've had arguments with the chatbot thing already, and I've actually found myself like having, and it comes back at you. It does, you know, and it changes its mind. I mean, it sent me the wrong research paper today, and I was like, no, that's the wrong one. It apologized and said it wouldn't do it again. You know, they've kind of got this.
Isn't it creepy though that it hallucinates stuff or makes stuff up if it doesn't know the answer? Like if you ask it the question and it doesn't know the answer, it would just make an answer up. And it's like, what are you doing?
It totally made up a paper today.
Yeah. It's AI explaining to you. Robot splaining. Yeah, it's just what men have done for centuries. They just fill the quiet parts with a bunch of bullshit. It's terrible. It's terrible. Oh no. Well, I you know, the world is not doomed yet. We're on like the cliff of doom. It's okay though. Like there's something that we need to go back to, which is we're all in this to bring something nice and incredible to other people and other humans. Like Sarah and I don't do this podcast for ourselves. We love each other, but like we're doing this because we want to help other people. And I think that's the humans that we are. And I think that's, Claudia, what you're providing on a daily basis with your, you know, Wired for Success and helping people and making sure that people can learn.
Yeah, that's the hope, at least. That's what I'm trying to do.
Well, it works. It's working. And Claudia, if you know, I want to go back to Sarah and I are on this journey of longevity and anti-aging. And I'm curious if you were to give us a few tips from your sessions and workshops that you do, what could you leave us with that we could work on to stay younger mentally?
Well, I think
we're lost mentally.
I'm gonna go watch YA shows all day long on CW.
I can give you a list of my top 10 healthy habits, but when I give you the list, people are going to be like, "Duh," because it's not sexy. The foundational stuff just is not sexy. We can call it biohacking. I like to call it just, you know, habits and routines. It's not sexy, but it's the stuff that works. It's the stuff that has worked for hundreds and thousands of years. So why not just go back to the basics and focus on the simple things? So the things that I would focus on, or that I focus on in my own life, are exercise. So I'm a runner, but to each their own. So pick what you enjoy and just do it on a regular basis. Then a healthy diet. And I'm not going into any kind of discussions about vegan or meat-based. So for me, it's eat foods that, like, eat whole foods, eat foods that your grandma would have identified as foods. So vegetables, fruit, protein, like meat, you can have meat, but let's not get into the details. Just eat real food.
Good, non-processed, not junk food.
Yes, exactly. Then get enough sleep. So aim for the 7 to 8 hours of sleep, but then also be aware of your sleep quality. I mean, you can spend 7 or 8 hours in bed and still feel tired in the morning. So you want to make sure you get good quality sleep. Then you want to manage stress. You want to find ways that really help you relax and calm down, because that's important. You don't want to get stuck in this chronic stress loop where you're just freaking out and you're burning out. And so manage stress. Then another one, stay hydrated. Drink enough water. It's easy to do, guys. You just have to do it. Then avoid smoking and too much alcohol. Again, not very sexy. Works. Then, as Sarah knows, get enough sunlight. You do want your sunlight exposure. You do want the UVB light so that you can have vitamin D and all the good stuff. You want the good mood and you want to set your circadian rhythm, right? And then I like to use the concept of hormesis. So like introducing a immediate stressor so that your body creates an adaptive response. So I like to use cold exposure and heat exposure to create those adaptations. And then social medicine, what we just talked about, have the people, have the support network. It's really, really important. And it's something that so many people just overlook because they are in this single warrior mode and they're just, you know, trying to get through it. Have a supportive network. It makes the journey so much more enjoyable. And last but not least, the positive mindset. Focus on what you want, not what you want to avoid.
Yeah, I think we're employing all of those, and that's great. To wrap it up, I feel there's something that I don't know. It's taken me a long time to kind of get to the place too of like understanding what kindness really is, and I think being kind and understanding to a point where you're not, you know, making yourself open to bullies to come in and bully you and, you know, put some boundaries up. But I think kindness is just such an important thing. I think if you're kind, then you're in that positive mental headspace. You're not thinking about the person cutting you off on the road is trying to do something vicious to you. They're probably, my wife will always say, they're not doing something to you. All they're doing is probably trying to get to their wife who's having a baby. Yes. So just think about that every time. times. I'm like, okay, I'll be kind. My wife is very kind and lovely.
Kind, and she's lovely because of it. And I think you're right, Ralph. Right. I mean, it's great that you've told us, like you said, the basics, and they're not very sexy. Basically, that's what that's been our whole podcast has been about, all those steps.
Not
and they do
sexy.
Say that you have. That's our whole ethos, Russ. We've nailed it.
The unsexy podcast.
They do say you have to see something like 12 times before you think of buying it. And I do think with this message, you have to keep hearing it, and you have to keep hearing different people say it. And sometimes someone says it in a way that resonates and you get it. I mean, I felt this Don Moxley, he came, we had a guy come on and he was talking to us about exercise, and I was kind of geared up for an exercise episode, and it actually turned into being an episode about recovery. And I actually thought, you know what? I never really thought about exercise like that, although we've talked to so many people. So I think hearing the same message again, going back to basics, reiterating those simple steps, you know, you hear it enough times, it starts to sink in. So I think that's fabulous.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt. I think sometimes, especially the biohacker community, they get so obsessed with tracking numbers and the latest compound that might have neuroprotective abilities or something. And you're like, yeah, but maybe you should just get the basics right, and then you don't have to worry about a mushroom extract that maybe gives you the extra edge or something. Just go back to basics.
And you know, there is we've met a few people, not naming any names, who it becomes paranoia. Like, there's a part of it where it's like the government is feeding me poison, and all of a sudden you're living in a world where I'm afraid to eat anything or to have my phone near me at night, and the EMFs. And like, I a lot of it is just balancing your life out. So understanding that you need to balance. And if you lean too far to running on fear, you end up getting sick, and that's very true. And if you can balance things out, and you can be kind to yourself and be good to yourself, exercising, eating right, and reducing alcohol and smoking is all being kind to yourself, right? It's a choice we're making to not punish ourselves, and especially exercise. And I think what Don said last week is so right. Like, don't go out and run 10 miles. Why are you punishing yourself to exercise? Exercise so you can recover. And I've never thought of exercise that way. I always avoid exercise because I'm like, I don't feel like punishing myself today. I don't want to go run 8 miles. I'd like to sit here and not do that. But being kind to ourselves.
You've got to be a middle ground there, Russ, I think.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure that's what Don was saying.
He kind of said that, but yeah, that's what I took away. Yeah, you don't need to beat yourself up to get the exercise.
No, you don't need to beat yourself up. Yeah, that's a good theme of this podcast, kindness to yourself and kindness to people around you. I think that's cool.
Yeah.
I think that's a very important mindset shift right there. You have to exercise because you love your body, not because you hate your body. And once you shift that, it's like,
yeah,
that's
I do
right.
have to go because I need to go exercise now. I do have to go because I really feel like that's the greatest thing I think ever said on our podcast. It's like, you have to exercise because you love your body. And that's true. Like, let's just love ourselves. And not that we're being, you know, selfish people, narcissists, but we need to love ourselves to love others, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, no, you don't need to justify that statement, Russ. We're all there with you.
Okay, good. Thank you. I thought I got myself caught there, but...
Not at all. Thank you so much for coming on, Claudia. It was really great to see you. And thank you for just reminding us about all those basic things. You know, I think you're right. That's really where it's at. So it was just lovely to have you on. And I'm sure our paths will cross soon, hopefully in real life. So we'll download some of those biophotons. But yes, take care.
And
thank you. It was really great to
Claudia,
see you.
Claudia, two things I wanted to mention. Number one is, on video, the unicorn behind you, that is definitely going to be our spirit, our spirit fictional animal of choice. Also, I would say, so is your website wiredforsuccess.solutions? Is that your website?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
awesome.
Right.
And we'll post everything up too. Okay. So wiredforsuccess.solutions. That's where you'll find Claudia, and you'll learn how to be kind. Sarah, have a great day.
Thank you so much.
Have a lovely day. Have a lovely
day. Have a great day. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Rebel Scientist podcast. If you know someone who would benefit from the topics in this episode, share it with them. Feel free to DM us on all social media channels or email us at sarah@rebelscientist.com. We read and reply to all messages. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And if you're listening on a channel that allows reviews such as iTunes, please leave us a fantastic review. We value your support. It all helps. All opinions of our guests are their own opinions and do not necessarily reflect their views of Sarah Turner or Russ Eisenman. This is not medical advice. If you have a health problem, please seek a medical professional. The Rebel Scientist podcast is a Breaking the Gray production, hosted by Sarah Turner and Russ Eisenman. Audio production by Dave Visaya and the podcast engineers. For more information and for our biohacking shopping guide, visit rebelscientist.com. To hear more incredible Breaking the Gray production podcasts, visit breakingthegray.com. That's gray with an E, breakingthegray.com.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.